Hey friend, we'll get to the episode in just a minute, but first I have a question for you. Do you know your strengths? I know you want to live a fulfilling life, right? You want to feel like your life is your own and not like you're in the wrong movie acting the wrong part. But do you know your strengths? Are you operating from your strengths at work and in your calling? Or does everything feel hard and like a chore? I know what it feels like to not know where you belong. And for me, discovering my strengths and really taking steps to deploy them effectively has been very crucial to helping me feel more fulfilled and excited about life. If this resonates with you, if you'd like to find out more about your strengths, I have a free gift for you. It's called the Uncover Your Strengths Free Guide. In this guide, you'll find tools, tests, and resources to help you find your strengths. There'll be space in there to write down your discoveries. There'll be reflection questions to help you dig deeper and prayers to help you seek the Lord for wisdom on how to move forward. I hope you lean into this. I hope you not only download this guide, but also use it, grow, and be empowered to pursue your next steps in faith, work, and life. You can get it today at shepact.com/strengths. The link will also be in the show notes. That's shepact.com/strengths. Now let's get to the episode.
I always had it in my heart, like, yes, these are beauty products, but let these products reflect the inner beauty that's required of us as women. I had to become more comfortable with like speaking and presenting things and doing all of that. And I used to be more of like a nervous introvert when I was a kid, like, you know, and I still kind of like, I get my palms get kind of sweaty and, you know, just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, how's it going to go? But I learned how to present and how to just kind of lean more into it.
You're listening to the Driven Introvert Podcast, a faith-inspired space for purposeful introverts who are ready to step out with courage and pursue their big ideas. If you are an introvert who is tired of letting fear dictate what you do and how you do it, then this podcast is for you. I'm here to remind you that the life and work you've dreamed about is possible, and your unique personality is not a limitation to achieving it. I'm your host, Remy Roy, and I'm the co-founder of shepact.com. On this podcast, I'll feature introverts and others with unique perspectives on what it means to follow dreams, passionately build out ideas, and live a life that matters. Expect inspiring conversations, resources, reflections, and stories on faith, life, and work. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the podcast. This is part two of my conversation with Latrice Love. If you haven't listened to part one, I encourage you to go listen now. We've had such a great conversation so far. We ended that episode with Latrice telling me a story of how she made a big pivot and reinvented herself in college. It's such a beautiful story of courage and resilience and a testament to the fact that at any point in your life, you can decide to change things up. You can change directions. You can figure out what you really want and go after it. You're not locked into the way you've always done things. This was really encouraging for me, and I hope it encourages you too. All right, here's the rest of my conversation with Latrice. Let's go.
I got there to U of H. I didn't know anybody, which wasn't, for me, it wasn't abnormal at that time because like I went to K-State and I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
But I went with my new big chop and I'm like, I'm coming here. And then as soon as I got on campus, I ended up finding out that they were doing elections for the RHA, which is like, you know, the housing association on campus. They were doing elections for like their president, their vice president, all their like key roles within the organization. So I ran for RHA president. I didn't know anybody. I literally like, I got to campus, I found out about it, and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And, you know, I get like room and board included. So I went, I like designed these flyers, printed out thousands of flyers, and like just started campaigning. Wow. Like the second day I was on campus, I ended up getting RHA president, and I did that the entire time I was at U of H. And
you got it?
Yes. Yes. It's just like,
oh my God.
Literally no one knew me. I was like campaigning, like going around, like introducing myself to people, passing out flyers, like, I don't know. Like, who do I think I am? I don't know.
Oh my God. That is amazing.
So that was the first time, I think, mm-hmm. like a critical time that I just like mm-hmm. completely just was like, I'm starting over, you know? And really because, you know, I've always been the type of person where even in moments, like things may sound like, oh my gosh, like that's like really brave. But yes. I didn't think of myself as like, oh my gosh, I'm so courageous. Like I've always kind of viewed myself as like, you know, I'm an introvert, I'm kind of shy, but mm-hmm. I try to push myself outside of what I can see. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to, you know, faith. Like that's exactly what faith takes, is saying like, I have the audacity to believe that regardless of what it looks like, I'm not even basing it on that. Like I'm going beyond like what I can see. And so when I connect all these dots, like especially in retrospect, I'm like, the audacity you had to do these things. But I think that's what it boils down to, is like, you know, faith. That's exactly what faith is. It's like, you know, not needing proof, like not needing a physical, I need to see this thing to believe it. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time. Of course, I've done that many times in my career too, but that was, I think, the first time. And I, you know, I was 19. So that was the first time that I really was like, okay, I'm going to do something different. And, you know, it paid off. I loved Houston and U of H, and it was a great experience. You know, I think mm-hmm. in a lot of ways it pushed me out of my comfort zone. Yeah. And I'm always, I think, innately looking for those experiences. And that's where like the reinvention comes in, because I think as people, we're like creatures of habit and we get so comfortable sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the Lord is saying is like, just trust me enough to take one tiny step outside of your comfort zone. And then before you know it, you know, like, you're on the water, you're out the boat, like you're in the middle of the ocean, like just walking, you know, but it takes like just one tiny seed of faith. And so, yes, that's kind of,
that is such a wild story to me. Like, I guess the question I want to ask you at this point is, what did your mom think? Because I'm trying to put myself in her position. Did she think, oh my God, is she into something? Like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? What is happening to my daughter? Like, you changed clothes, you cut your hair, all of that.
My mom is the coolest mom. Like, she's so, she's just supportive. Like, naturally, mm-hmm. she never was like, what are you doing with your life? Like, I've mm-hmm. never felt pressure from her mm-hmm. to like achieve anything or be this, you know what I'm saying? Like some people have parents and they're like, you need to be like this and be like that. Like, I've never had that experience ever. Like my mom has given me a lot of freedom to just be who I am. And so even when I was like, hey, you know, I'm transferring, she's like, okay. Like, you know, like, you know, we're just going to switch up the K-State thing on the car and like, you know, just like,
oh my we're just God. Gonna,
we're rolling, you know? So and maybe, you know, she had within herself moments of like, okay, what's going on? But she's never mm-hmm. been the type of mom that's like, what are you doing with your life? Like, she's always mm-hmm. just kind of like, okay. You know, I think, my family now has come to expect me to be the outlier a little bit, like, you know, and that really, especially when I left corporate, like that has taken some time. And even still now is like, what do you do with your life? Like, what do you do for a living? Like, you know,
oh my gosh, so I can imagine that.
Yeah, that has probably been more of an adjustment, but even still, like my mom has never been, you know, she's always just been super supportive and like, you can do it. Like, you know, and maybe internally her thoughts are different, but she's never.
I mean, I can imagine. I would have questions, you know. And okay, I guess I should ask you this question. Knowing who you are now, the kind of person that you are, your drive and all of that. When you have a daughter, or I should say if, depending on what you want, but when you have a daughter who is taking a similar decision, what do you think your response would be? Like, how would you view that? Like, what you would think and then what you would say, you know, kind of like your mom, like, what would be your perspective?
I mean, I take the perspective, I hope, I pray one day, we pray one day that we'll have kids. And, you know, I really follow my husband's lead in a lot of ways. Like, we've been together a decade, literally now. Awesome. So, and I really follow his lead when it comes to faith. Like, I know that I'm so blessed and like the Lord just had to give me a man that was a certain type of way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because he's so focused on doing the Lord's will. And
yeah.
Our life is very much, you know, he always reminds me, like, I'm getting us to the kingdom. That is my number one focus. Like, I'm not here trying to give you the world. I'm trying to make sure we get to the kingdom. And so our family structure and dynamic within our household is very much centered around the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Word. And, you know, I believe that we will continue that with our children. It's never a thing of like, oh, these are our kids and they need to do what we want. It's like, no, they need to do the Lord's will. So I'm, and I think a lot of it, of course, like I've wanted children for many years and we've been together for a really long time and our path hasn't even looked so traditional in the sense of like, you know, people are like, what's, are y'all gonna have kids? Like, what's going on? You know?
And questions.
Yes. And I think a lot of that is, you know, protection too, because I think the Lord has had to get me especially to a point of surrender, like in every single area of my life. Like I have some areas it's kind of easier for me to surrender to the Lord's will than in others. You know, I think with children and how it's taken a while is because the Lord wants me and my heart in a position of, Lord, like I'm a steward and I'm a vessel as a mother. It's not meant for me to say these are my expectations or they need to act like this or if I have a daughter she needs to follow these steps. No, it's to say like, Lord, this is your child. You know, because we are dealing with the Most High. Like, this is the Father of all the fathers. Okay, like this is the parent of all the parents. So, you know, I think that I believe and I pray that my heart posture will be, Lord, I surrender. And as a mother, I hope to be a vessel, you know, of the Lord's glory and a guide to the Lord and to his word. And, you know, a lot of that is like surrender, you know? And so I'm not attached to, really anything. Like, I'm not attached to a timeline. I'm not attached to, you know, even having children. I believe, Lord willing, I won't be attached to them to the point to where it's like, I can't surrender them to the Lord.
Oh, I absolutely love that. I love that because everything you said is like thoughts that ran through my head for all the years while I was waiting to have children. And this is probably a whole nother conversation for another day. And we can do that. I can get into it, you know, because, I mean, it's a lot of times when we are waiting for things, we have this feeling that God is withholding from us. But no, I feel my experience has been God was grooming me. He was building me. He was teaching me. He was making me into the kind of person who would be able to surrender, like you said, my own thoughts of what parenting should look like, what I should be as a mother, what my child should look like, what I should be able to give my child and all of that so that when I was ready or when he had fully done the work in me, you know, I could walk into that. And I had my child, my first child. Well, I have only one right now, but I have my first child at 40. And all of the years, it was so painful because I would look around and like, what is happening? But then I would have those moments of clarity when I knew that, okay, God is doing something. I know he's doing something, right? He's not just leaving me here hanging. He's doing something. So let me better prepare myself. Let me better take the steps and learn what I need to learn. You know, and I remember at church one time, one of the pastors talked about Hannah. And that's the story when you're talking about waiting, you know, for children. That's a big story like everyone really locks into in the Bible. And what I took from that was I need to spend this time while I'm waiting to intentionally pray that prayer that Hannah prayed to say, Lord, if you give me this child, I will give him back to you because he's not mine. Like, he's not mine, you know, and I had to pray that prayer consistently. And another thing that I prayed was that I know that in every generation, you need men. Mm. You need women. You need people mm-hmm. to stand and, you know, be pillars for the kingdom. Like, mm-hmm. I'm ready and willing. I will be that person in my generation, in my time, but I'm also ready and willing to birth that child who will be mm-hmm. that for his generation. Mm-hmm. And I kept praying those prayers. And I'm thankful mm-hmm. that, just like you said, I had the presence of mind to know that God is not withholding from me. He is grooming me. He's teaching me. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's just going to be great when it happens. So, oh my God, that's like a tangent. But thank you for mentioning that. And I'm glad I asked you that question. I know that someone listening will feel encouraged by that. And I hope they do feel encouraged to know that God has something in store for you. He's not withholding Amen. From you. Just go through the process, learn whatever he is trying to teach you, surrender. And yeah, his will definitely be done. I love it. Thank you so much.
Amen.
I love it. Okay, let's talk about Lip Love. What excites you most about this business?
Hi, friend. Are you enjoying the podcast? May I ask you a favor? Please take a moment to leave a review of the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Reviews are very important and help other people find the Driven Introvert podcast. I'd really appreciate if you could rate the show and also leave a written review. You can review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. Now back to the podcast.
Oh my goodness. So many things. Honestly, this has become something that I never thought it would be. And I didn't think it would bring me joy in the ways that it does. But I just love connecting with the women that shop with Lip Love. And I mean, there have been so many relationships that I've just made online. Not even from all people who are customers, but just like people reaching out and saying, hey, like, I saw this post or this thing you did, and it really inspired me. I mean, there are so many women who, as a result of Lip Love, like, I've met up with, I've done Bible studies with, like, I've just connected with on Amazing. A deeper than surface mm-hmm. level. And so that's the thing that I never envisioned with Lip Love. You know, I always prayed and was like, Lord, just make this what you want it to be. And it's never really just been about the surface level beauty. You know, I always had it in my heart, like, you know, yes, these are beauty products, but let these products reflect the inner beauty that's required of us as women to impact and influence our homes and our communities and our nation, you know, because there's so much in, especially the beauty industry, that is so superficial and it's just about a look. And so, you know, I went into it with the intention of, I really want to carve out a space for women to be real and for it to be raw and for it to be true connection and community. And so that's the part that really excites me, is that, like, you know, we've done so many things, like, not even always public things, but just me getting on the phone and praying with women, or, you know, doing Bible studies or connecting in that way. And then the other really exciting thing that always gets me, like, just Kool-Aid smiling is I started hosting in 2020 a women's wellness summit, and it started out like online, and it's all about like physical, mental and spiritual wellness, and hosting that through Lip Love. And it's just been, it's grown. It's been, there's been like 5 summits now. And it's been a beautiful kind of space for women to come together and to learn and to grow, but also be in community with one another. And that's the thing that excites me about Lip Love. It's like, yes, it's beauty products and it's fun, and I love wearing the products and doing all that, but like, it's deeper than that. And that's the part that, like, I never really envisioned or imagined, or I didn't know how it would play out. But it's been really beautiful. And that's what excites me about Lip Love, and like, just brings me a lot of joy. And it's so much bigger than just, you know, making sales and the numbers and the metrics of it, because you can't measure that type of impact. And you can't measure, like, you can't even put a goal on that. Like, you can't put like a, oh, we want to, we need to make this much. Cause even in the day, in the months where we don't hit revenue goals, or, you know, where I'm like, okay, like, how is this going to work? You know, then there's still the impact that's still happening. And that's what it's really become, you know, for me. Like, in the beginning, you asked if I had any metrics or, like, you know, kind of things I was aiming for. And I very much had those, and I used to obsess over the numbers and all this stuff. And I still, of course, like, you know, manage that part. But to me, the biggest impact can't be measured in that regard. And that's what I've kind of learned along the journey, is like, I'm really here to connect with women in a real way, and in a just a very genuine way. And that is what I want to keep at the front of Lip Love and at the front of my mind and of my heart, more than just, oh, we're trying to make this amount of money or like reach this level. Because to me, like, what matters is the impact. And, you know, I see that translating. I have a niece who, she is 8 years old, and she's been, you know, she's seen Lip Love since she was like three. So, she's like come and done all these things with me, and she's very much invested into it now. Like, she's very, every time I see her, she's like, okay, how are we doing with Lip Love? You know, like, what colors are you working on? Like, you know, she's like very invested, you know, and she's asking, she's like, am I going to take over the company, you know, one day? Like, she's eight. And I'm like,
oh my God,
you need to put in some more hours, like, you know? So when I speak even to her about it, and I see, you know, we were, we play this game when I go visit her, it's called Train of Thought. And it's like this card game where you ask these questions, like meaningful kind of questions. And, you know, and she's always, there was, we were playing previously the last time I saw her, and it was like, you know, compliment the other player, the other person that you're playing with. And she was like, I just want to tell you that, like, you are so inspiring because you have your own company and I love your products. And I'm not just saying that because, of course, like, she uses, you know, the skincare and all this stuff, right? Yeah. So she's like, I love your products and it's so inspiring. And I'm like, wow, like, this is really cool because, you know, like, you can't put a price on that. You can't put a number on that. And so, you know, that's what it's about for me. It's just like the impact. And that's what gets me excited about it. And that's what brings a smile to my face every time, more than just, you know, the numbers and the analytics and that stuff.
I love it. I absolutely love it, Latrice. That's awesome. And gosh, to have your niece be front and center and experience that, I feel like it's going to be like, it's going to make an indelible impression on her. Like, just growing up and having the confidence to know that she can do, you know, things too. That's awesome. That's amazing. Yes. So speaking of, you know, you mentioned even those times when you have like revenue goals and you don't meet them and all that. Let's talk about some challenges. So I love this concept. I think it was Seth Godin who talks about this. He talks about the deep. Like, there's a point in your journey, mostly as an entrepreneur, doing anything impactful, where you have gone so far, you're almost like in the middle of it, and then you experience a dip. Now, you've put in so much effort into it, like, you don't want to give up on all that you've done, but then you know that there's so much more ahead, and you don't even know what other challenges you're going to experience in future. You know, those moments. Can you talk to me about a time when it was challenging to run Lip Love, and you maybe thought, maybe you didn't dwell there, maybe it was just a thought in your mind that, oh my God, are we going to survive? Was there ever a time like that?
Totally. There's been a lot of times like that. And I think from a challenging standpoint, you know, the main thing, so the main thing with Lip Love is this is not, so this is a product and a formula. All of the formulas I invented, I created, I formulated them. And, you know, all of the production still happens in-house. It's not something most cosmetic brands, you know, they're outsourcing their formulations. Mm-hmm. They're outsourcing, you know, all of the manual labor when it comes to creating their products, packaging them, you know, keeping the compliance and the standards as it relates to, getting everything produced and shipped out to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with Lip Love, you know, the biggest challenge has always been, you know, I set out with the goal in the beginning to keep everything in-house. So I'm not outsourcing, I'm not contracting, you know, formulas. And also another kind of little known thing is that a lot of cosmetics companies and skincare companies, they'll work with the same group of manufacturers. And so what happens is a lot of the products on the shelves are the same products, but they've just changed maybe the scent or the fragrance or, you know, slight tweaks on the formula. But they're all very similar. And so when I started out with Lip Love, I was like, number one, I want to make something totally different. And, you know, I don't want these things to be outsourced. I want to be able to have quality control and all these things happening in-house. And because ultimately my goal is to create more opportunities for other people and be able to hire like so many other people. And so a lot of the challenges, honestly, around making it have been with that. Just logistically, you know, with me still doing a lot of the manufacturing and the formulating, that takes up a lot of time and there's a lot of energy that goes into that. And of course, there are other parts of the business too. So, you know, it's like a balancing act. And one of the biggest challenges I've had with Lip Love. So there was one year where it was a good problem to have, but when we started taking on wholesale orders, you know, it started out like small, very small. And then it just grew seemingly like in steps, and then it just took a big step up. You know, it went from like, oh, we're just doing small little production runs to like now thousands of units, you know, that need to be done in this time frame. And there was one year that I received a wholesale order, and it was for a beauty subscription box, and they ordered 18,000 units. And then right after that, I received another wholesale order for 12,000 units. And so I was tasked with getting out 30,000 units of Lip Love in just a couple of months. And you know, for bigger brands, that's like, oh, like that's nothing, like, you know, we can produce so many units a minute, whatever. But for me, especially at the time, when it came to machinery, when it came to labor, when it came to, you know, just keeping the standard and the compliance with everything, it was very, very challenging. And of course, you know, with those contracts come stipulations and guidelines around, hey, if you're late, like we take this much out of the back end of your money, and, you know, XYZ, there are all these stipulations to those contracts. And so there have been that year, and even, you know, times after that, where I'm right up against a deadline. There have been times where, you know, I've fulfilled orders and not made any money on it because I was late and I didn't have the manpower and the support. So I'm giving you more than one time because I want to be open about the fact that, you know, there are challenges and there are times when just financially, you know, for the amount of labor that it takes to produce at a very large scale, there's so many moving pieces that I have to manage logistically and from a labor standpoint. And there are times when I don't pay myself, you know, still to this day, 5 years in, I don't take a salary from my business. I don't take a check consistently. Like I'm not, I'm investing back into the business and back into the people and not myself. And so it's just been, from that standpoint, there have been times, months where it's like, okay, how is this going to sustain itself? And gratefully, you know, I have other business ventures and things. And again, like my husband is very supportive and always keeps me on the track of this is bigger than money. And I think, you know, a lot of times when it comes to entrepreneurship and when it comes to our faith, we have to realize that number one, we're going to go through things. Like we're on a journey where endurance is required, and we're on a journey where it's not promised that things will always be easy or just packaged up very nicely and neatly and like in a bow. And so, that's the biggest part. And then the second part is like, our success and our value, there's no amount of money. Like, this is what I had to realize in corporate and leaving corporate. There's no amount of money that anyone can offer any of us that would compare to the true value that we have. There's no, we're priceless, like literally we're priceless. And so I think when we attach success to the fact that like, oh, I have to be at this level of revenue, or I have to be, you know, at this level of visibility to everybody, then we're already doing ourselves a disservice. And I've had to really reframe that in my mind from a business standpoint. It's like, because, you know, we worked at the same company. And so it was very performance driven and very much about like, what are you doing today? Like, not what results did you get yesterday, but what results did you get today? And so I've had to kind of like overcome that mindset of like, even if I'm looking at the analytics and it's like, okay, this is not doing what it needs to, like literally just in this last 2 weeks, like I've been getting new traffic on Lip Love, another example, and it's literally not converting. Like, there are loads of people that have it in their cart, and I'm looking at the cart I'm like, okay, like all of my percentage, we were able to get all this new traffic. We're able to, we know the pages are optimized because they're adding it to their cart, but they're not converting. And like, I can't say like, oh my goodness, like that's not success now, because many of those people have gotten to our email list and like we're communicating with them. But in a traditional sense, it has not converted into dollars. But to me, that is still success, because we have a touch point, we have their email, we've improved our traffic, we've improved the people adding it to cart, you know. And so it's just like a reframing. And I think there have been many challenges and times where I'm like, how is this going to work? And there have also been lots of times where I'm like, okay, I want to be able to pay myself and like buy things, you know, like, but you know, it's such as being an entrepreneur, you know, and I don't want to like make anyone feel afraid to go into it, but I do want people to know that like, especially when you're doing something that's so against the grain. And one of my first businesses was called Counterculture, very small, like boutique PR agency. And I still to this day, like I think about Counterculture because I think about that from that name from the standpoint of us as people of faith. It's like we're so against, like we're against the grain, you know, in that way. And so I think we have to even reframe, like, what does success look like? And how do we take on challenges, and how do we face them, and how do we reframe those challenges in context of the word? Like, we're going to go through things, but we need to endure, you know, and we need to persevere because our character is being built. Like in those times where I'm like, oh my goodness, this manual labor, I'd never done manual labor really in my life before Lip Love. And now it's like a whole warehouse and boxes and like, you know, inventory and making things and getting hands and nails all bruised up and broken and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is a lot. But there have been many times where I'm up all night or I'm working on things and my character and my perseverance and my grit are being built. And so that was very long-winded, and hopefully it gives you enough specifics around
it. Does. And I think it would be great to have maybe another conversation for another day where we really talk about this from a business perspective for people who really want to go into business like you are, maybe having a product or something similar, to just really talk around just your experiences, you know, with the logistics and everything, you know, from top to bottom, and talk about, I'm also curious about what your goals are for the future, for Lip Love. Like, what does scaling look like for you? What does going to that next level look like for you? Because I know you're thinking about that. I think it'd be a good conversation to have for anyone, you know, who might be interested in that. I think they're going to find that very helpful. So thank you for sharing that. Because I feel like we don't talk enough about the challenges. So sometimes we can be optimistic to the point where when we face challenges, we are thrown off balance because we weren't expecting it, you know? So it's good to be open and vulnerable about this. So thank you for sharing that. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay. So let's get into some lighter note questions. Let me ask you about, and I mentioned this when we started. Let me ask you about your locks. Let's talk about your locks.
Okay. You inspired me. Let me just say that.
Are you serious?
Yes. I don't know if you remember. So I was telling you because I was like loose natural for since 2010. Yes. And then I started my locks in 2020. Was it 2020 or 2021? I think it's 2020. Yeah, okay. 2020. So, yes, but we had a conversation and I was like, I really want to do locks. And you were like, you should do it. And I'm like, I should. And it took me some years, but like I finally did it.
Oh my God. You know what? I am like the lock advocate now because I'm telling everyone around me, you know, like you should do it because it has been the best decision I made for my hair. Like, I don't know.
Me too.
Like all these years, I mean, I'm glad that I experimented. I did this or that. But now I'm like, this is the best thing ever, you know?
Yes. Agreed.
Oh my God, it's so freeing. And it's not as expensive as, you know, mm-hmm. when I tried to. I just love it. So I'm glad you did it. And yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's talk about, okay, so I know that you're an introvert, right? And I always, I say this to people, introverts are not a monolith. There isn't only one kind of introvert. You know, there are different kinds of introverts. There's some introverts who are shy, some are not. There's some introverts who might experience social anxiety, some don't, you know, and all of that. Talk to me about your introversion and what your perspective is. When did you realize that you were an introvert? And how has that sort of had any impact, if at all, on your personal and professional life?
That's a really great question. I've always been an introvert. I think I've always known, like, I'm an introvert, you know? Even as a kid, I mean, I was just very, like, to myself. And just like, you know, you could find me just somewhere in a book. Like I'm out the way, I'm reading, like, you know, I'm just out of the mix. You know, I wasn't really like a very social. I mean, I was social to a certain extent, but I wasn't like, oh, like I'm trying to be, you know, just out and just, you know. And I do think that has impacted me. Personally and professionally, I mean, it's definitely impacted like friendships and relationships from the standpoint of I tend to like kind of just take a step back and I'm more observant and I'm like slower to kind of like just, you know, and that saved me, honestly, like personally, I think, especially in my younger days, because it's like saved me in a sense of like, you know, I've always just been kind of more like, you know, when it came to certain things,
cautious.
And yeah, that's, yeah. So I think that's helped me a lot, but I am very much like an extroverted introvert. Like, and I think corporate probably did that where, you know, I had to become more comfortable with like speaking and presenting things and doing all of that. And I used to be more of like a nervous introvert when I was a kid, like, you know, and I still kind of like, I get my palms get kind of sweaty and, you know, just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, how's it going to go? But I learned in corporate to be, how to present and how to just kind of lean more into it instead of like, oh my gosh, I'm so like nervous and it's paralyzing, you know? And so, I think it's, I'm more, like outgoing introvert. However, I will say that like socially or even just, I mean, like we're having this conversation. So it does just energetically, it pulls me. So after like intense social situations,
gotta go.
Like, okay.
I need some time.
Like I have to like, you know, so I kind of, it helps me just with scheduling and things too, because if I have events or I have things going on, then I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to have to be like in this crowd or doing this, but I'm going to carve out time, you know, after that to really replenish and just like draw back like that energy, like, you know, regain my energy and my perspective and to reflect and do all of that. So,
I love it.
Yeah, I'm very like people are usually surprised when they're like, oh, you don't seem like an introvert. And it's just like, you know, I think a big part of that was corporate and just like learning how to speak to people and like all of that. But I've always been able to really do that. It's just, I used to be kind of more nervous and like uncertain about things. And I don't really have that now. And I think a big part of that too is because my faith has grown, you know, since I've grown. And it has made me more courageous in a sense of like, I know that I have the Holy Spirit. So, and there's no spirit of fear or doubt or disbelief attached to the Holy Spirit. And so if I have those thoughts or those feelings and I'm like, wait a minute, no, like I will not like X, like, no, like,
I love it.
You know, I can't even agree. I can't come into agreement with that because that is not the spirit that is associated with holiness. So like, I'm just going to be who the Lord called me to be. And, you know, if I do feel nervous or afraid or anything like that, then I can pray about it and, you know, just ask the Lord like to be with me and affirm his word over my life that he is with me. And, you know, just ask him to make his presence known, you know, so that I feel that security and that comfort. And then I keep it pushing. So
I love that you mentioned, you know, just being able to go back and reflect and step back after you've kind of given all your energy. I'm curious, do you have like a daily or like a weekly routine, something that really gives you peace and joy?
I do. And it's changed a lot, like throughout the seasons. And as I've like had to be with myself through the seasons, you know, because the things that I used to do or like the schedule I used to have, I realized even in this entrepreneurship journey, like it doesn't work for me anymore. And so there are some seasons and times where I'm very much on schedule as far as like, you know, Saturdays is like my rest, you know, just in my household. And then Sundays is really like that start of the week. And so I used to spend Sundays to like, let me get organized and like, you know, journal and like do all these things. And now that just kind of doesn't work anymore. And so, on a daily basis, I'm getting back into working out, very consistently. Prayer is like key to just peace, just bringing me peace. And I do also still like to journal and kind of get things out of my head. And those are really all of that stuff happens just on a daily basis, honestly. And then weekly, I try to be mindful of like areas or times where if I notice like a lot of things are kind of slipping through the cracks or I'm not as responsive on emails or those sorts of things, I kind of try to just recognize that in real time, as opposed to locking myself into, oh my gosh, like I have to do this at this time, or, you know, the corporate, like, okay, time blocking and doing all this. Like my schedule doesn't work like that anymore. And for the longest, I tried to kind of fit it into that, like, oh, you know, they said do this, or like, oh, our schedules need to be like this. And I'm in a season right now where that doesn't work. So I'm very much like, I have my non-negotiables. Like I need to get up and move my body. I need to like, if that's going on a walk, if that's going to the gym, whatever, I need to do that daily. I need to like eat some fruits and veggies and greens, like, you know, and that's a non-negotiable. I need to pray. That's a non-negotiable. I need to get in the word. That's a non-negotiable. And then everything else is like, Lord, direct me and move me and help me to do all this stuff, because it's a lot. Like, you know?
It's a lot. Oh my God. It's a lot. I absolutely love that. Yes. Awesome. So what are you excited about in this season? What is your big idea right now? So I know you have Lip Love, you have your businesses, but is there something specific, maybe a next level for something? What are you excited about right now?
I'm honestly like, I'm excited about a lot of things. I'm really just in a flow right now. I believe with the Holy Spirit, like I'm not attached to like things have to go this way, you know? And, I think there's a lot of beauty in that place because we put so much pressure on ourselves a lot of times to oh, like, you know, in 3 months I'm going to be here, or in a year I'm going to be here. And I've really just stopped doing that. Like, I'm like, Lord, like, where are we going? Like, tell me, I'm just riding passenger side and you driving, and tell me where we're going, you know? As far as like specifically with Lip Love, I have some plans and things that I'm not going to speak on yet.
No problem.
I'm really excited to just grow and connect more with the ladies in that community. I'm very much, I have a, like some local kind of initiatives and things going on that are new that I'm excited about. And then my other business with business development and marketing and PR for clients and stuff. Honestly, I've like, at one point, I was very like, there was just a lot. Like, I had a lot of clients and a lot of new projects and a lot of things going on. And I really had to spend time in prayer, like, Lord, where do you want me focused? Who do you want me working with? And kind of like take my personal ambition out of it. And so I'm very much in that place, even with clients where, you know, they have a lot of exciting events and things happening where I'm able to support them. And overall, like, I'm just excited to keep growing and working unto the Lord. And so, you know, I just want people to know, that are listening, like, it's okay to surrender, and it's okay to trust the Lord, because He will not let us down.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And we take comfort in that, knowing that, like you said, God's got us, like, He will never let us down. Latrice, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I love just all of the inspiration that you brought today. I have learned so much from your journey, and I know that our listeners have too. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Remy.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Driven Introvert Podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation, please take a moment to click the follow button on your podcast app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. As always, don't forget to take courage, trust God, and go pursue your big ideas. See you next time. The Driven Introvert Podcast is produced by Sheepak.com and Remy Roy, with content, editing, and strategy expertise from Candice Zakaria and Aishat Olarewaju. Want to ask a question or share a comment on a future episode? Email us today at thedrivenintrovert@sheepak.com, or click on the link in the show notes to record your question in a voicemail.
Hey, friend. Do you know your strengths? I know you want to live a fulfilling life, right? You want to feel like your life is your own and not like you're in the wrong movie acting the wrong part. But do you know your strengths? Are you operating from your strengths at work and in your calling? Or does everything feel hard and like a chore? I know what it feels like to not know where you belong. And for me, discovering my strengths and really taking steps to deploy them effectively has been very crucial to helping me feel more fulfilled and excited about life. If this resonates with you, if you'd like to find out more about your strengths, I have a free gift for you. It's called the Uncover Your Strengths Free Guide. In this guide, you'll find tools, tests, and resources to help you find your strengths. There'll be space in there to write down your discoveries. There'll be reflection questions to help you dig deeper, and prayers to help you seek the Lord for wisdom on how to move forward. I hope you lean into this. I hope you not only download this guide, but also use it, grow, and be empowered to pursue your next steps in faith, work, and life. You can get it today at shepact.com/strengths. The link will also be in the show notes. That's shepact.com/strengths.